And now, the life of Mary Southern. There has been argument of the effect that if a woman were president of this country, she'd get things done. Now, we're not taking sides in any political issue, and of course, we've the masculine suspicion that another woman instigated the idea. But we still admit that when the gentler sex start out to do something, they generally do it. Phyllis, a young wife and mother, has been confined to a wheelchair for several months, and Mary Southern feels keenly the suffering that must be going on in her heart. This unfortunate girl has a young husband and two small children, one an infant, the other a tot of three. Every mother knows the priceless joy these baby years bring, and poor Phyllis is being cheated of this never-to-be-regained happiness. Well, a new week has started, a week in which Mary hopes to accomplish a great many things. As we open today's scene, we find Mary calling to Max.
Max? Oh, Max, dear, hurry up. Your breakfast is getting cold.
Yeah, I'll be running in a second. Just, I can't find my tie.
Well, there's one in your dresser drawer, dear.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I found it. That was what I wanted. Hi, Tuss. Hi.
Oh, hi, dear.
Oh, swell, swell. Well, I guess I'll better have some breakfast, huh?
It's already.
Hey, Toots, look. Come here a second, will you? Look.
What?
There, out the window. Those two birds. See them? I think they're building a nest.
Where?
There.
Oh, yes, I see them. But birds don't build nests this time of year, darling.
Well, maybe these birds got different ideas. Hey, get a load of that, will you? He just kissed her. Boy, ain't that something?
Max, you're very romantic this morning.
Yeah. Oh, I had a swell dream last night, Tuss. I guess that's why.
What'd you dream about?
Well, I thought that you and I were on a desert island.
Just a little Max?
Yeah, just big enough for the two.
And where we lying on a tiny stretch of white sand near the sea.
Yeah.
Looking into a deep blue sky as lovely and cloudless as that one out there.
Well, say, how did you know?
I've been there, darling.
Yeah?
The time you were away from me, I spent every night on that little island.
Oh, you
did, honest. It was awful, Max. I never wanted to be separated from you again.
Well, you're never going to be, Mary. You're never going to.
I hope not, dear. That's why I want to do something for Phyllis and Danny. They love each other just as much as we do, and they're separated in a way. Poor Phyllis, tied down to a wheelchair. She can't go places with Danny or be with him the way she wants to. She's all alone on her desert island, Max.
Yeah, I know. It's tough when you say something.
Well, we can't just keep on saying it, Max. We must do something about it.
I'm all for more action than less talk myself, but there ain't much we can do until somebody finds that Dr. Leroy.
It's Leroy, dear.
Oh, yeah.
And we better find him soon. Phyllis had an attack yesterday.
No kidding.
Pretty bad one. She blamed it on the rainy weather, but I believe it was more than that.
Yeah?
Yes, I think she's getting worse.
Well, look, we gotta do something fast.
Well, I'm going over to the clinic and see John this morning. I wish you'd ask Mr. Barton if he said any news about Dr. Gilroy.
You can bet your boots I will. And if that pill roller can help my sis, we're gonna find him if I have to call out the Marines.
Anyone here? Oh, Nurse Miller. Dr. Benson.
Someone call?
Oh, hello, John.
Well, if I don't walk out of a chloroform-filled operating room and come face-to-face with a vision.
Good morning, Mary.
You couldn't by any chance be still feeling the effects of that chloroform, could you, sir?
If that's the case, I've been feeling it for a long time. Sit down, Mary.
Thanks.
I've just been inside doing a bit of cross-stitching on little Johnny Thucklander.
Oh, the poor little chap. What happened to him?
Well, he was practicing to be a tightrope walker and fell over the pinepole ridge.
Oh.
But I patched him up so he'd be as good as new.
He'll go the next time.
Yeah. That boy's my best customer.
He's such a little daredevil. Well, I'm scared stiff whenever Jimmy and Susan are playing.
I don't blame you. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be right with you as soon as I wash my hands.
All right, John. I do want to talk to you.
How's everything up at the house?
Oh, well, thank you. Max is so happy about the new factory, there's no holding it.
That's fine. Good to see the old scamp himself again. Max hasn't decided to place that order, has he?
What order, John?
Don't you remember? He said he was going to give me an order for the stork one of these days.
Oh, no, no, not that. It's about Phyllis.
Oh.
John, she isn't getting any better. Friday, she had a very severe attack.
I wish I could tell you there was something I could do, but it's a very little, Mary.
I know. I suppose I sound like a foolish, stubborn woman, but I believe there's always something somebody can do. Of course, I don't mean you haven't done your best, John. It's wonderful the way you've looked after him. You didn't want to tell us, but I know we'd have lost her if it hadn't been for you.
She was close to leaving us when the baby was born. I did all I could. Doctor feels pretty helpless sometimes.
I don't think any doctor could have done more, but now with this spinal condition, you say she needs a specialist.
I thought at first a specialist might be able to help her. But now, well, you know how I feel.
Yes, I do. You haven't any confidence. Not even in Dr. DeRoy.
I have confidence in you, Mary. I believe if anyone could help her, he'd be the man.
Oh, if I could only look. It's the strangest thing. The man's just disappeared, and Mr. Barton hasn't been able to reach him.
Mr. Barton has gone to a great deal of trouble for Phyllis, hasn't he?
Yes, he's been very kind.
Did that ever strike you as being peculiar, Mary?
Why should it, John?
Well, Jeffrey Barton is one of the wealthiest industrial leaders of the country. He came to Sandy strictly for business reasons, or so we assume. He suddenly become interested in the crippled girl as a total stranger to him. Doesn't it all sound, well, odd?
It does a little. Actually, I roughly mentioned it, but... Well, the only reason I can see is that he's a very human person.
Perhaps.
Come to think of it, John, why should we always question the fact when a person tries to do some good? Isn't that what we're put on earth for, to help each other?
Everyone doesn't feel the way you do, Mary. And especially people as important and influential as Jeffrey Barton.
I don't think a man's heart is measured by his purse strings, John. You can follow the golden rule, whether you're Jeffrey Barton Millionaire or John Doakes, pauper.
That's true enough. And it should be simpler to follow that rule if you have wealth and influence.
I don't know if I'd even agree with that, John. Mr. Barton's wealth and influence haven't been very successful in bringing Dr. DeRoy.
To Sanders next. I assure you, I've done everything I could.
Terry, this is Adams, Barton. It's funny how he disappeared.
Louis was always a temperamental person. I remember that night that... Well, I think perhaps that night is better forgotten.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I feel better about forgetting, too. But I guess he's getting the doc here, and Mary says we got to do that quick.
Is your sister had a relapse,
then? Yeah, she's worse. Poor kid's been suffering plenty lately.
Oh, poor child.
Yeah, come in, come in.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Barton. Hello, Mary. Am I disturbing some business?
Not at all, Mary. Come in.
Sure, sit down. Say, Tom, you look tired.
Oh, I'm worried, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine. Max has been telling me Phyllis hasn't felt so well, Blake.
No, she hasn't, Mr. Barton. I don't know what Max told you, and perhaps I'm being presumptuous in speaking like this, but if Dr. DeRoy can do anything for Phyllis, we need him here now.
I know, my dear. Possibly you felt that because I'm busy with the factory, I've neglected trying to reach her.
Oh, I didn't mean to give that impression, Mr. Barton. You've been more than kind to have spoken to the doctor about Phyllis in the first place. After all, we are almost strangers to you.
Strangers in a sense, yes. But I'm a good deal more than the average bystander's interest in Phyllis's case. I imagine you wondered about that, too.
We felt you were a very kind person.
Yeah, yeah, but it seemed kind of funny at that.
I suppose it has. You see, I had a reason for my interest in Phyllis Stratford's case, a very personal reason. I wanted to be cured because it will help a little to compensate for something I can't think about now, but something that once affected the most important thing in my life. The most important thing in my life. What could be the most important thing in a man's life? Especially in the life of a man like Jeffrey Barton. A man who has wealth, influence, and position. The tumor must have been something vital to have caused him to make such a statement.